Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxley Joe. Planning a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Scardy. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Oh, my God. My brother, Chico, is listening. He may even call in. And we got calls coming in from all over the country, from New York, from Alabama, from Arkansas, from Montana. We're circling the U.S. of A., I'll guarantee it, plus inside dead center, all to give good wishes to our good buddy. Let me tell you what's transpired, folks. First of all, good evening. I hope you got your ears on, all you people around the globe. I miss you guys. You have no idea. As you know, I've talked about my brother and Chico many, many times on the show, and he's been on so many expeditions with us all over this United States of America. And he got knocked down a little bit. His wife for 57, 58 years, I forget. Nancy, she passed away. We had a memorial life not too long ago. And then 2 days after that, he gets a damn heart attack. Well, it's pretty much intense, you know. You're there giving a celebration of life and seeing all these beautiful pictures of your wife and family and everybody just being there and sending all that love. It just hit him. So he ends up in the hospital, heart attack. They give him a stent and goes out, comes back in again, gets out day before yesterday. And I know what Chico likes the best, as his family knows what he likes the best, and that's cherry pie. So I had one of my friends make the cherry pie cobbler, and I went there to his house, and they weren't home. They were at one of his appointments, you know, doctor's appointments. His daughter, Linda, and his other daughter, oh, my God, they've been taking care of him like you won't believe. And Jason, his grandson, oh, shit, folks, I've got to tell you, you got to take your hand up to these people. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy job. Remember, Chico's in his 90s now. And sometimes he can get a little cantankerous. And you know those Navy SEALs. Be very careful because they'll come out of the blue with their last punch and they'll nail your ass. So tonight when I talked about the shows last week or so, I told everybody and everybody's sending their love and best wishes to get better and all that. So then I said to myself last night, well, you know, let's talk about him today while he's alive. I'm tired of talking about people who are dying. I'm tired of talking about death. I want to talk about life. So let's instill a little bit life in my brethren and your brethren, Chico, okay? Frank Chico Martinez. He's still alive. He's in his 90s. And he's kicking, baby. And he's kicking. And I believe he's got his ears on. Let me see if the rock star... Rocky, is he on with us?
I'm trying to get him pulled up here as we speak. No, they have not called in yet.
Without any further ado, let's go to our furthest back there in New York. We got Robin and Kevin. Are they with us?
They are.
Let's get Robin and Kevin on the phone first.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing, babe? How are you feeling, first of all?
I'm doing a whole lot better. Doctors gave me a good, clean bill of health. And they said, as far as they can tell, they got all the cancer. And we're happy about that.
Oh, praise the Lord. Our prayers have been answered. That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And how's Miss Robin doing?
She's been doing fairly well. She's still having a lot of trouble with her knee. We had to get our insurance changed so we could afford to get her to a dentist. The doctors say they won't do her surgery unless she sees a dentist. And so we had to get our insurance changed so we could afford to go.
Well, wait, man. You just confused me like you won't believe. What does the knee got to do with the dentist?
They were trying to say that if there was any kind of bacteria or infection, that it could travel through her body and go into where they do the surgery. I think it's a bunch of crap, but that's just me. I know they did my surgery. My teeth need to come out. But they didn't tell me. I had to go to the dentist. So it's a little confusing to us as well.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Well, we know that Chico is listening right now. What would
Good.
You got the floor? What do you want to tell him?
I wanted to let Chico know he is being cared for and prayed for. We understand what he's going through, because we also have lost some family members. One of my aunts just passed away from cancer last month. And so we understand. But at the same time, we also know that they're sleeping. They're not in any pain. There's no suffering involved anymore. They're under God's care now. And we know to lose anybody is a very hard thing to go through. But, Chico, you're loved, and you've got other family who deeply care for you. I heard you have some grandkids and everything. Try to put your heart with those that are around you, because they're going through a similar thing as you are, and they're going to miss your wife, and they need you to be strong so that they can keep you around a little longer. We're all praying for you, and we hope you can get through this rough time.
So well put, and thank you, and thank Robin also. What do you got to tell Chico about? You got a Bigfoot over there for him?
There has been some evidence. We did find a tree twist. The smaller tree was pulled around to the back of another tree. We did check to see if maybe another tree or something fell on it. There was none. And so we feel it was a deliberate twist done by something very strong. And there was what looked like a footprint right next to the tree. It was not a clear print, but we did get pictures of everything. And I think we sent something to you, Tom, that if you wanted to share that with them, it's up to you. But we got cameras out, and we're hoping to catch something on the cameras.
That's fantastic, Kevin. You know, and I want to remind everybody, Kevin and Robin, they're up there in northern New York, and Chico was with me and TJ and Rob, and we were out there looking for that creature out in that area, and Chico remembers it. He's got a memory like an elephant, God bless him.
Oh, right.
And, yeah, you bet. Yeah. So stay on, you know, mute yourself out, because I want to go down to Alabama and talk to him.
Okay.
He's like my son, you know, Rob Youngblood. And Rob wanted to give a message or two out to Chico, and he wanted to talk about some of the craziness that he experienced with Chico and the rest of us out in the field chasing Bigfoot. Thank you so much. Give Robin a big kiss for me, will you? He muted himself out. Okay. All right, Rocky, let's go and get Youngblood on the phone.
He's on.
Rob, hey, you son? Hey, how
I'm
are
here.
You?
I'm hanging in there like a hair on a biscuit.
I love it, you know. Well, I'm sure you heard the story about Chico, and, you know, he's going to be with us forever. I don't know what else to say. I mean, he's a Navy SEAL, always a Navy SEAL.
No, and, they don't die. They go to hell and regroup.
Yes, they do.
That's what they
do.
What's
your message? He's listening to you right now. So what's your message?
Chico is the cheese. He is the bee's knees. He is what, you know, built this nation, what holds this nation together. The type of character of that man is the reason we still, to this day, have a United States of America.
Wow. That is heavy. Did you hear that, Chico? That came from your brother, Youngblood. And you know how he came up the ranks with me. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you who don't know Youngblood had answered one of our well, tell them how it happened, Rob.
I answered an email. I said, well, hell, this sounds interesting. I was just a young squirt. I mean, hell, I was, what, 22, 23 years old, Chief? I said, well, hell. I answered the call. I said, well, let's go find out what's out there. There's somebody that's out there that's got the funding, that's got the people together to try and go out there and figure it out for what it is. And I said, well, hell, I'd like to do that and be part of something like that. And I got brought into the fold. I just answered an email. It was that simple. I sent off one email, and 2 days later, I had a plane ticket. Let's go. I mean, you know, damn, this shit, this is shit out of a damn, you know, storybook. I've traveled the world. I've seen, as Winston in the original Ghostbusters would say, shit that will turn you white. But, I mean, you know, it was just an email. That's all it was. You know?
How many years were you with it?
Man, it's been how many decades now, Chief? Is it two decades now we're going on?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 20 years.
20 years.
You know what, Rob? I got to tell you a story before you tell your story about Chico, because it stays in my head. It'll be in my head the rest of my life. The last time you came out with me and TJ, we were in Washington, the state of Washington. Remember that?
I remember that. And everybody needs to know TJ is Special Forces Army Ranger.
Yes, he is. And they know. And they know. And I'll tell you what, we got this retired forest ranger, and he brought us in an area. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, this was the first time ever that I'm just there with young blood and TJ, my son, my other son. And TJ did some howls. Get some Bigfoot calls, and then all of a sudden, we hear the trees and the brush just falling down. Something huge was coming at us. And all of a sudden, Rob, like my own son, he did my revolver, and he says, here, it's loaded, it's cocked. He says, you stay right behind me. And he had his street sweeper plus his other guns there ready to go. And he says, there's two of them. He says, one's coming to the right, one's coming straight out. Now, that crazy son of mine, TJ, he's going dead nuts straight at him, folks. And I said, oh,
he's running.
God.
He's running.
Yeah, I know. He's running right.
Straight off running. I'm like, damn, dude. We weren't trained that way.
I know it.
That's not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess he just hit to the point that, hey, the hell with this shit. Either I'm going to kill him or I'm going to die. And I...
German was pumping.
Yes, for the first time ever in my life, I got scared. If I didn't get scared, I would tell you. But dig it. It's just TJ, me, Youngblood, and this retired forest ranger. We're up in an area that there's no cell phones, okay? Who the hell are you going to call? And if you do shot off a few rounds anyway, nobody's going to hear. And I said, they won't find our bodies for a week or two. But this kid, this man, my other son, Rob, held his cool, man. He had that street sweeper. He goes right in front of me. He says, here, you're loaded and locked. He says, if they get me, you know what to do, Dad. And pow. That was one night, Rob, that made me think real close. What did you
think?
That's
a hell of a night to remember.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I've been to war. I have fought the enemy face-to-face, and all that. I've never been that scared shitless. I was scared shitless.
When you stop, when you finally get your grips on life and you say, well, wait a minute. There's just four of us. One's got a camera. Another guy's got a machete. I got my pistol, and he's got the street sweeper and the sidearm also. And I says to myself, oh, and then he says, Chief, there's another one coming to the right. He says, I'll get this one. You get that one. And my God, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, it was one of the scariest situations we had ever been in. But you know what? If we would have went down, I would have went down with the ones that I love. What is
you'd have went down with family.
Yes, right. That's right. So what was the most greatest time that you had when you were out with Chico?
The greatest time I had out with Chico was when he spotted that mountain lion that was hunting Father Ray's ass.
Oh,
that was the greatest time. Father Ray sitting to get fucking eat by a goddamn mountain lion. Chico picked it up. He lets me know, and I go out there. We dragging him back in the damn truck. Father Ray's just going crazy. Oh, he's slinging Bible pages and all at him. You know what I'm like? Damn, Father Ray, that ain't gonna save your ass from getting hit. I mean, this son of a bitch is hungry. It's a damn mountain lion, a 345-pound cat. I'm like, damn, dude.
What state were we in then?
Shit, we was in Four Corners then. That's when that happened. Four Corners.
Right.
You remember that?
Wow.
Yeah, that night at Four Corners. Yeah, Father Ray was fixing to be at. And you remember that bad newspaper write-up? You know, before this happened, that bad newspaper write-up that little liberal chick did on me about me killing doves and eating them, you know, I saved her ass in the middle of the night from a fucking mountain lion with her little, you know, frou-frou boyfriend or whatever the hell he was. And, you know, after ridiculing me, I saved their ass, and they still alive today because of me.
Yes,
I had to
kill
that damn cat. It was a damn state record. They ain't never killed that big.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it was almost 350 pounds. That's a big cat. Average cat.
You damn
about
right.
Two and a quarter.
I killed that sumbitch. I rolled it like cardboard out there. I went the top route. They was walking the valley in the moonlight in fucking Arizona, thinking there ain't nothing else out there but them because they so fucking important. And all, but I mean, you know, I save their fucking lives, and my payment, I get ridiculed.
Okay. Let me tell you something. You succumbed all of the bullshit and ridicule, and you reign, you know, supreme, because you've been with us all this time. What do you want to say to Chico, real quick?
I want to say, Chico, you the man. You was the first UDT. Motherfucker out there, you the baddest, the best that's ever been. You wrote the book and helped the Navy write the book on how to get there. You helped them with the experimentation they put you through and trying to figure it all out. You got the U.S. Navy SEALs where they are today, and without you, they would be no U.S. Navy SEALs.
I applaud you, son. I really do. Just mute yourself out because Bruce is on the line from Montana, and he wants to get his licks in real quick, okay? Do you mind?
I got you, Chief. Right. I don't mind at all.
Okay, you mute yourself up. Rocky,
right.
You got Bruce?
I have got Bruce. All right.
What?
Now.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yay, Bruce.
Yeah.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I just want to have a shout out to Chico. You know, it won't be long before he can get out of bed and move around again and go back out on that Bigfoot trail. You know, those heart attacks, they're not that bad. You know, I had one and I never went to the hospital. I just stayed in bed. They said 7 out of 10 heart attacks like that, people don't make it. But I'm one of the guys that made it. So, you know, that you'll be all right. You're tougher than I am.
Well, you heard that he had a stent put in, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, you better get well, Chico, because... you know, we're all waiting for you, and I got a Bigfoot out here in the back of the house. I need you to come up and clear it out for me. Can't get rid of it. It just hangs around here. I was on the porch the other night, and it was hollering at me. My girl went out to feed the dogs the other morning, and it was hollering at her. We need a Bigfoot man to come up here. I'd chase him, but I can't see no more, so I can't I can't see too good anymore, and I wouldn't find him anyway. He's got tracks all around the house here.
Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't remember Bruce Schill, he was the one that called me. Do you remember the first year?
Yeah, it was 2006 or 7.
2006 it was. So think about that. 17 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, and we're still close as you could ever be. We brought the town of Browning on the map, and it was because of this man right here. When he went and took both his kids out there by the lake, and they saw these prints, and next thing that followed, he calls me, and we got up there, and my God, he's been a national and international celebrity ever since, and he's been part of our family, and I'll tell you straight up, he's the man. You want anything up in Montana, up there by the Canadian border, place to be. Listen, I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart coming on tonight and giving kudos to my brethren. It's just, you know, Bruce, we've been getting calls, we've been getting texts, we've been getting emails. So many people, he's touched so many people's lives. You know, they just love the Chico, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm saving the next story before my story to go on next. It's going to be by Rocky, and you're going to love when you hear Rocky's story. Stay on. Hold on. We got to go. We got to pay some bills. And on the other side of commercial, we're going to bring Rocky on. He's going to tell his story. Rocky, it's on you.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Yes, we are, good buddy. Listen, I'm saving you for right now. And I know you've got some stories to tell about our man, Chico. And he's gotten down and dirty with all of us down there in the brush. I'm going to let you do your story first, and then I'll close it so he gets some rest tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, my co-star, my brethren, our family, and without him, there's no me. This is Rocky. Go ahead, Rocky.
Well, we were, I can't remember the year, but me and Tom and I can't remember the other guy's name. and Chad is, and me and the Swede, we were all down in Rockwall, Texas. Well, we'd been all over that one area, and the hog track, wild hog tracks, were everywhere. I mean, there was, looked like thousands of them. Well, we was out there. We put up cameras and all of the above. And, well, Tom and Chico had gone in that night to press some business that couldn't be handled out there where we were. Me and the Swede, we found our spots. We sit out there all night. And, we heard lots and lots of wild hogs. And there's a few times we could actually see them. But anyhow, we'd just gone back to our camp, and Tom and Chico came in, and they had some news for us. But before any of that happened, Chico was out. He was gathering up all the cameras, and getting everything packed away. We made one more pass through the brush, making sure we didn't forget anything. And anyhow, it sounded like a freight train coming through there. The big, big hog. And as it went past Chico, it laid his right arm open. I mean, slashed it open. And anyhow, it was going too fast. The brush was too thick, and we didn't want to shoot Chico. So we just had to let it go. But, when we got over there, Chico was walking up through there like, there's nothing
happened.
Another day in paradise. And I looked over there, and he had his jacket sleeve. It was soaking up blood. He had blood dripping off his fingers and stuff. And, so anyhow, we ran over there, and he said, don't worry about it. It ain't nothing. We looked at it. It was something. It was a gash. Anyhow, so we said, you need to go. We need to get you somewhere and get you stitched up and all that. And he said, no. I said, everything, I'm okay. And Robert said, well, I've got some thread. Robert is the Swede. He's an upholsterer. And so, oddly enough, he used the thread, some of the same thread that he stitched my recliner up with. He put, I don't know how many stitches in Chico's arm. We had a first aid kit, so we disinfected him and all that. And Robert started stitching on him. And I said, Chico, said, you need to stand still. Said, it's hard to stitch up a moving target. And he said, oh, hell, y'all taking too much time. And anyhow, finally we got him slowed down enough that I was holding on to his arm so he wouldn't take off again. And the Swede, he stitched him up. He put a bunch of stitches in that arm. And I asked Chico, I said, does that hurt? He said, it might later on, but right now I'm busy. And so anyhow, I want everybody to know that every time I've gone with Chico, there's always something happens. He's one of the funniest people to be around that you can imagine. He's my hero. I remember in boot camp, we would, there on the beach, we would see some of the, what's SEAL teams now, they'd be doing their training, their testing and all that. And I was saying, you know, man, I'm glad I don't have to do any of that bullshit. And then I meet Chico, and he let me know real quick that he's one of the reasons they have to do all that bullshit. We've been out places that I never even heard of. We've been out there and had people come up that none of us knew, and they'd come up and say, are you Chico Martinez? And he would say, yes, I am. And they was all, says, I'd like to shake your hand. Thank you for your service. You're a legend in your own time. And Chico, when you're walking with Chico, in my opinion, you're walking with greatness. We were in Alabama or something, I can't remember. We was at Chuck Creel's, and me and Chico took off on our own, and he was working my ass off. I was trying to stay up with him. Anyhow, finally he said, well, we better wait for the others to catch up with us. Well, Tom and them come walking up, and he said, hey, Chico, do you know what today is? And he said, yeah, it's my birthday. I said, no shit. I said, how old are you, Chico? And he said, 84. And here I am. He's working me to death trying to stay up with him. And that was years ago. I'm not 80 yet. I'm just 70. And, I mean, I have nothing but respect for the man. One of the coolest people a man could ever care to meet, and he is my friend.
You know, I want to interject a thought while you're talking about the area where you were. Also in Arkansas, ladies and gentlemen, a guy named Jim, I forget his last name, he had a place by a river, and it was me and TJ and Rocky, and of course,
the professor and
Chico. So we gave us a house to bivouac in for the night. And I says, well, let's get up early and let's eat some, you know, it's because the creek or the river was there. And I says, hey, Chico, you still do your thing when it comes to fishing? He says, hell yeah. I said, well, maybe you can get us some fish early in the morning, and we'll put some fresh, cook up some fresh fish and eggs and biscuits. And well, I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This man got up as soon as it got light, like 6 o'clock in the morning, and he's out there fishing, and he brought back 13 trout. You remember that?
Yes, I do. We had deer meat the night before, and then we had fish that morning.
And thanks to Chico, okay? And Jimmy couldn't believe, Jimmy was the guy that owned the house and the land out there, how he caught these fish on this line. And he used corn, ladies and gentlemen. Little kernels from corn. You remember that?
Yeah, Cam opened up a can of corn and fed the team and masses.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And God, you know, those are memories. I tell you another memory. We're up in New York, in northern New York. And, well, here's another thing that people don't know about Chico. The man don't sleep. There's something wrong with him, okay? We traveled for 3 days. Oh, man, we traveled for 3 days. He don't sleep. He was writing a journal the entire time. And I said, what are you doing, Chico? He's, well, I'm amazed to see how the difference is on a gallon of gas from California versus us going down here to the Black Tar Swamp in Florida. Now, you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that's bi-coastal. California's one side, West Coast, and we're now down here in the pit of the East Coast in Florida in the Black Tar Swamp. And Chico, he was, oh, my God. God loves his ass. He wouldn't sleep. So I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to be out there in the tree. And I said, what are you going to do out in the tree? He said, I'm just going to keep my ears open. He said, I got my long gun with me. If I hear anything, you'll hear the shot going off and then come and run. I said, okay. Well, that night, ladies and gentlemen, he found a couple of guys that were traveling in our footsteps, try to find out what we found. Well, he got himself all, what was that, the suit that they wear, that Chico had?
The ghillie suit?
He looked like, yeah, a ghillie suit, that's it. He had a ghillie suit on, he's got this long rifle, and he sees these two guys. One was by our cameras, so the other guy got on his shoulders. Chico gets up there and he puts his rifle up the guy's ass and he says, you got two choices. Get down from there right now, or the next hole you're going to see is going to be coming from the bullets going up your ass. I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget that night, nor will I forget when we were up in New York with that engineer, that scientist guy, up on his land, and that's when the men in black came out, and they were all around us, and all of a sudden we're following this trail at nighttime, super black, ladies and gentlemen. There is no lights out there. It wasn't a full moon, and it was the ordinance of lights out. So it's either you had the infrared on, or you had your goggles on. Well, we're going down this one trail, and then it forks off. The next thing I find out, it's Chico forking off over there to this trail that we weren't traveling. And then about 3 or 4 minutes go by, and he's shooting a couple of rounds up in the air. And I said, oh, Christ, who is that? They said, it's Chico. I said, where's this trail up that veered off? Let's get down there. He's not going to shoot anything unless he knows he's got something. He's probably got something down there. We get down there, Chico fell into a septic. Get me the hell out of this goddamn thing. And I said,
yeah.
Chico, I thought you would be following behind with us. He said, no, I heard something. That's the reason why I went that way. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, it's been fun with him. You have no idea. It's been intriguing. It's been drama. It's been suspense. But you know what? He was always there. I don't know. How many states did you travel?
Me?
Rocky? Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah. So you were in what, 40, 46 states? I think
Chico
was with us in 44 states.
Yeah, let me see, that last trip I took, put 9,000 miles on my pickup.
9,000. Listen to that, ladies and gentlemen. 9,000. California to New York is only less than 3. So he went almost 4 times, back and forth, back and forth. But I'll tell you
okay,
what, it's been...
Here's the thing that I thought was funny. Okay, we'd pull up to the gas station. And Tom would say, why are you still driving? And I said, because I can. Okay. He'd get aggravated because these other guys was, while I was driving, they were catching some Z's. Well, when I drive, I drive all the way. But Chico, I mean, when we would get stopped somewhere, I would go out like a light. But Chico was always awake. He was always awake. I literally never saw the man sleep.
You know, is that not amazing or what? You know, I've said it.
It amazes me.
And he said to me, well, let me drive. I said, hell no. You haven't been asleep in 3 days. I said, just my luck. I let you drive. And then all of a sudden you go clunk, and there you go. And we're all dead. You know, I mean, but, oh, gosh, ladies and gentlemen, he's been on so many trips with us. And if he could tell you the story himself, I'm sure he would. And he could talk for hours and hours and hours on it. But I'm glad that we spent a little time here on the show. And you people around the globe, I'm sorry we didn't get to our current events and all that tonight, but it was well worth it for our brother and Chico to tell some of the stories, and I hope you understand, and I hope you appreciate it, okay? I hope you appreciate it.
You want me to open the switchboard up?
You can. You sure can. And ladies and gentlemen, believe me, okay, he is one
Rock.
Tough. Who's that?
Open it up, Rock. This is young blood. I got something I want to say. Chief, that was pertinent, poignant, Rock. That was spot on. Chico is like the damnedest tree you've ever run across in your life. He's that solid. He's a damn
absolutely.
A damn oak. Just like you, Rock, just like you, Chief. This is Youngblood speaking. And
yes,
I'm going to bow out just as soon as I got to say what I got to say. But that's some bad-ass shit. And we went through it. We have been through the mud together. We've done it. We've come out on the other side. Smell like a rose. And, I mean, it's tough. The real thing is tough. The real hunt's tough, ain't it, Chief?
You bet it is. You know, they all.
It's like you wash my back, I wash yours, right?
Exactly.
You bet.
And you got all them kids out there that don't understand. This shit's tough. I mean, anything worth figuring out or having takes work. And we out there working. But you know what the sad thing about it is, everybody don't understand, we doing this shit for free.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what we're doing. Tell me, Chief, we're not doing it for free. We're doing it because we want to know.
Nope, nobody ever gave us any money.
No, we're doing it because we want to know and want everybody else to know for free. We ain't charging admission.
No. That's wonderful work.
It's just effort. It is hard effort is what it is.
Yep.
That's the truth of it. And Rock right there backed me up. I've been there with Rock. Rock is the spam connoisseur on planet Earth. I can tell you that right now. Rocky knows about
Thank
that
you.
Shit. Rocky bad
Thank
about
you.
That. And Chico pioneered what it is to be a Navy SEAL.
Yes,
he pioneered. He was in them days. And when I say that, that's a bad, and I'm not trying to say nothing vernacular that ain't correct, but a bad motherfucker, that's a bad motherfucker is what that is. And Chico knows
that. Well, Chico, you got to stay around so I can hear stories from you, too.
There you go.
He is one bad motherfucker. And when you come to bowling, don't even get in a lane with him. You're going to be done. And that's just his hobby. There's nothing but excellence. He shits excellence. That's just the way it
All
is.
All right, young blood. Listen, thank you, son. I know you stood up a little late tonight. You got a full day tomorrow, too. God love you. And thanks for everything here.
All right, Chief, I'm going to meet myself out.
Okay, take care, son.
Love you guys.
Love you, too.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most...
What happened, Chief?
Can you believe I hit the wrong button?
I sure do. Well, you got all excited because we're talking about Chico, man. I don't blame you. You know, I mean, my God, I mean, we got at least another 8 minutes to go. And it's a shame. I would have wished that you know, that he could have called in and had the strength in him to say hello at least to everybody, you know.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. Maybe next time is right. Yeah. And maybe next time
we're
going
to look
right.
forward to it.
Oh, you,
well, you know,
you, Kevin,
we have, me and Tom and Chico and Youngblood, TJ, we've got memories that we can share, but only verbally. The memories we got are ours, and can't nobody have them. I mean, if you haven't been out there doing what we do, then you don't really, it's a little bit harder for most people to grasp why we would do it.
You know, I never
sense.
Thought of it. Yeah. I never thought of it like that at all, Rocky, because, you know, it just came natural to all of us. But until I actually saw the movies that we made, to see the situations that we were in, the circumstances that we had dealt with. Ladies and gentlemen, what you see in a movie is real time. And what we encountered, when we see it, how we see it, and who we're with. So the key to all that is, you know, everybody's, oh, is there a Bigfoot? No, there's not just one. There's over 8,000 in North America alone. Well, what are they named by? Just Bigfoot? No, they're known all over this globe by different names. And down under, by the way, you know, the Yowie in Australia. So the thing people don't understand is, you know, and how they would fantasize, ladies and gentlemen, how you people would fantasize, or people in the Bigfoot world, off of when they see the newsreels and they find out what town we're in. Because, oh, my God, there was a town in Florida. Their jail in Florida was an old-time telephone booth. It was the smallest jail in Florida. Well, Chico got up earlier than everybody else or didn't go to sleep at all. And he went down the street and he's looking for a cup of Joe and he starts up a conversation with the waitress. And she said, oh, are you the one we just saw on TV? And then the other girl comes up, yeah, that's him. That's one of them. And then he sat there for 3 hours before anybody woke up because he's up at 4 o'clock if he went to bed at all, you know. And it was crazy as hell. So he comes back in. He says, hey, everybody, he says, everybody knows that we're in town. I says, oh, shit. I says, okay. So, you know, there's just so many stories, man. I mean, when we were in the Black Swamp, okay, it was called the Black Tar Swamp. And he's fearless, man. He didn't care. He said, I'll take the point. I said, Chico, anything happens to you, I won't be able to sleep for the rest of my life. I said, let me get one of the young dudes that hasn't had boots on the ground for a while. And I'll be damned, man. He doesn't take no for an answer. When he's bound and determined to go do something, so like that one night when he went to go sleep in the tree. And, you know, here he's in his 80s. Think about that, folks. He's in his 80s. He's traversing a tree that he was up about 25 feet on a 70-foot big tree. And I says, he says, it's the advantage of seeing. I said, okay, I get it. So, Chico, I can just say this. We dedicated this show to you tonight You get your ass back up and get back strong, because we know you can do it. You heard some of your brothers tell stories about what you were doing out here in the brush with us. But most of all, know who loves you. Your family loves you. We love you. Now all it takes is you to get back on that road of recovery, to get down and go on that next expedition with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Around the globe, kudos and salutations. Until next time, America. Thank you, all my guests tonight, for participating. Thank you, too.
Love y'all.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for calling in.
Glad we could.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them together, reason for the facts.